from the WestBranchFootball.com studio on Oliphant Street. Sort of. You're tuned in to the Talkin' Bear Football Podcast. And now your hosts, Matt Chenander and Jason Miller.
Week one.
Time-honored tradition of playing high school football is upon us. Man, have we waited a long time for this. It's time to hear the pads crack. For real. The lights are going to be on. The clock's going to be running. And all the statistics are actually going to count. It's week one of football, Matt Chenander, along with Jason Miller, talking Bear football. Man, Matt, it's been a week that we've just waited since that scrimmage on Friday night. Just get that taste. It's like having your favorite steak, and you want to eat the whole thing, but oh no. You just get one bite this week, but we get the whole thing now.
Well, I think Friday night it was a little too hot for me to get that feeling, so...
Yeah. Well, the kids were grilling the steak actually on the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
It was hot enough.
It was that hot. It was that hot.
With the lines on the field. But, again, thanks for joining us again on Talking Bear Football. We're going to be with you every week. Now we're starting on week one. Lisbon Lions are the foe for the West Branch this week, which will be the fifth consecutive year the Bears and Lions have played out of district. Third of the last four, the Bears have traveled to Lisbon, back-to-back, if you're really keeping track. Last year, it was about 112 degrees on the field. This year, projected forecast, about 71 at kickoff. Light breeze. Man, I could go for that.
Are you joking?
I'm actually not joking. Wow. I looked it up on Not AccuWeather.
Good.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at weatherchannel.com or KCRG, they're both projecting a daytime high of around 80 degrees that day, with the heat indices actually being around 80. So that means game time temperature around 7, probably 70 to 75 degrees, and just perfectly comfortable.
That might be the coolest season kickoff we've had in a long time.
Yeah, it is. But let's talk football. Both teams come in this game with high expectations and many question marks, as they should for the first game of the season. A year ago, it was a different story. Both these teams had those questions, Matt. One team had a lot of guys returning. When I'm speaking of the Lisbon Lion, last year, they were a year removed from a state championship, still had a lot of very important pieces of that state championship team that returned for last season, and they were projected and ranked as the third best team in Class A football in Iowa in the preseason. Whereas West Branch had 16 starting positions that they needed to replace. You had some key cogs back, like we had mentioned before. We mentioned in our first podcast, Mike Gould was back, Tyler Donovan, Justin Roth, Casey Pence, and so forth and so on. But you had a lot of question marks for this team, starting three sophomores, a freshman, which is unheard of, by the way, in the Butch Peterson era, that a freshman has started both sides of the football. Luke Lenock did that last year. Best part about those guys, they're a year older and at least have 2 years left, including this season. But the question marks were there for the Bears last year, but this year they returned 16 starters, and I think that's a good place to start from for us.
Yeah, certainly. And you mentioned last year of how the question marks, we didn't have very many people returning, and Lisbon was a year removed from the championship. And now this year it seems like roles are almost reversed. You know, granted, you know, West Branch didn't win the Class 1A championship.
Doggone it.
Yeah. We return, 16?
16 starting
positions. 16 starting positions, and Lisbon lost quite a bit. So roles are kind of reversed this season. And, you know, last year we went up there and beat them 28-20 on, you know, again, what was a really hot night. And, you know, like I mentioned to you last week, Lisbon just always seems to be a good opening season test for the Bears, just to get an idea of what the team can do on both sides of the ball, and what are some strengths and what are some weaknesses. You know, we saw a little bit of that Friday night at Meet the Team scrimmage, but, you know, this coming Friday is for real, finally.
Coach Ken Allison is the head coach at Lisbon. Always does a great job with his staff, and the people there are wonderful. It's a small town, a little bit smaller than West Branch, but The people are always great. Very strong, rich in tradition, rich in wrestling tradition, I should say. Their football program has been strong, consistently good, never real great throughout the years, much like a lot of small schools. You just go through that attrition, through graduation, that you never know what things are doing. But I think Coach Ken Allison's got things rolling up there. Last year they had their strengths were kind of all over the field. Logan Ricard, we saw him. I remember seeing him when we beat Lisbon 35-0 3 years ago when he was a sophomore quarterback. I remember watching him and telling Coach Peterson that this kid is going to be a pretty good football player. And last year he threw for over 1,200 yards, ran for nearly 600 yards, total accounted for 23 touchdowns. Tyler Vitosh last year was our leading rusher with 812 yards. I'm taking these from Quick Stats Iowa, by the way, if you would like a wonderful synopsis, a sort of a time capsule of a team and what's been going on, just stats. Go to quickstatsiowa.com. You can find your favorite team there for any sport in Iowa high school athletics. But anyway, Cameron Jorgensen also graduated. He was our third leading rusher at 415. Then you get to the fourth and fifth leading rushers, Matt. I said Ricard threw for 1,200. His leading receiver was Jorgensen, who was also the third leading rusher. Vitosh, leading rusher, was the second leading receiver. And Tanner Sackett Hopkins was their third leading receiver. All those guys have graduated. But then you get to their fourth and fifth leading rushers in Connor Woodward and Benton Fry. Those are the two guys that return. And also their fifth leading receiver in Brock Givens also threw three passes last year. I would presume him to be their quarterback because the other quarterback listed is Carter Happel, two-time state Iowa wrestling champion, not even listed on Quick Stats Iowa roster. Probably going to concentrate on his very successful and his future success in wrestling. But a guy we can talk about, Matt, is Keegan Tridle. Big fella. You're going to see him as number 71 in the program. He's about 6'4", 260. He's a four-year offensive lineman starter for them. And that's where it all begins anyway, Mr. Chenander, up front. Up front, when you got to have big boys, that's where the game begins. You got to be able to have those guys up front to get plays started. For, you know, specifically when you're looking to fill some new holes and some new gaps with players and names that we don't know yet, and we're going to hear those names Friday. I'm sure they're going to come out, and everybody, it's their first game, so it's your first time to get that first dance at the prom, so to speak, on Friday night.
Yeah, West Branch was kind of in that similar position last year where, you know, we really didn't, you know, we had a lot of new players, not a lot of starters returning, and so it was just kind of a, you know, a question mark. And, you know, we just, you know, started building that front line, and you got to just kind of lean on your front line and hopefully that they can open up a good running game for you.
Well, and that's one thing you will hear from Coach Peterson here in a couple of minutes. He's talking about the size and the strength of West Branch this year on the offensive line. That's really what you're going to lean on. West Branch goes from left to right on your football dial. Left guard is Jacob Giese at 6'4", 260. At left tackle, I should say. Left guard Drew Finnegan is 240. Center Matt McArath Sr. is 200. Right guard Ryan Grosvenor is 240. And right tackle Big John St. John is about 6'3", 260, 270. So the Bears got the beef. You want to go back to the 80s, play that commercial. Where's the beef? Those five guys right up front have got it.
West Branch, Iowa.
West Branch, Iowa. Not to be confused with West Branch, Michigan. There is one out there. At any rate, so that's a good place to start. And West Branch does return. Again, I mentioned Mr. Lennock. He'll be the starting tailback this year. But also in the backfield, Devin Kennan moves up from sophomore team. Will also be the starting kicker this year for the Bears. But those two guys, I can bring their names up. Outside of the linemen, you know they're going to be in the weight room lifting too. But the guys, Kindon and Lennock, are going to be the guys toting the mail most of the time when the Bears are carrying the ball. Who do you think were the two guys in the weight room probably more than anybody this year? I'll be darned. It was those two kids. And man, you know as well as I do, football, any sport, goes beyond just you got to practice to get better. You got to practice a jump shot. You got to practice swinging a golf club. But the weight room, the work you can put in there, it's going to make a lot of difference.
Yeah, over the past couple of years, West Branch High School in the district has put, you know, a lot of emphasis, time, resources into making weight room better for its student athletes, for whatever sport it's for.
You know, approachable.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm not sure whether it's just the football team or the whole school in general, but Phil Johnson has come in, and he's the strength coach for West Branch. And he's loved by all the kids, has been for years, ever since I was in high school. And he does a great job with the kids, just getting them in shape, getting them ready. He knows the proper way to lift so kids stay safe, they don't hurt themselves, and they're targeting the right areas of their body that they need to.
And since he became the strength coach, he also used to have a Got Strength gym as he opened. He was the owner-operator of that. Looking at some of the guys and gals that he has coached and trained through his the last 6-7 years, a couple of guys that he started, we'll bring this point out real quick, were two of his first client guys that worked with him from their beginning of their weightlifting journey back in 7th grade, Bo Bauer, Jack Rummels.
What are those two doing, Jason?
You know what? Jack Rummels right now is a senior left tackle for the University of Northern Iowa Panthers and is an All-American, preseason All-American on everybody's list in the football bowl subdivision or whatever. I don't even know, Division I, AA, whatever they want to call it.
I think it's football.
It's just football.
Something.
There's a lot of good football going on there anyway.
They have a playoff.
Yeah. Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? Playoffs. At any rate, he's on everybody's All-American team. If you go to Pro Football Draft, you go to one of the websites online, they list of 136 offensive tackles that they grade. Jack Rummels is the 19th best one on that list out of 130-some, coming from West Branch, Iowa, and out of Phil Johnson's Got Strength gym. God love him. You bet. Well, that's a great deal there. But Bo Bauer, how about this for some news? If you didn't hear this, if you weren't at the Meet the Team scrimmage on Friday and haven't been on Twitter and you're sort of lost in this technical world, Bo Bauer was called into head coach Kirk Ferentz's office on Friday at the University of Iowa. He is a walk-on. He's a preferred walk-on, which means they really want you to walk on with the idea of, we really think that you can play with, unfortunately right now we don't have scholarship money for you, but perhaps you'll earn it down the road.
That he did.
Bo Bauer is now a scholarship athlete for the University of Iowa. Guess who he began lifting weights with in 7th grade?
Phil Johnson.
Wow, he's good. Phil Johnson. Matt Chenander.
Thank you.
Put him on Jeopardy. Who is Phil Johnson? That's exactly right. Both of those guys are Phil Johnson Got Strength disciples. Another one I can throw out right now, Heather Polo, had been lifting with Phil for years. Kelly Trimble, both of those girls are. Heather Polo is an All-American candidate. Well, I think she may have been an All-American last year as a volleyball player at Kirkwood. Kelly Trimble playing basketball at St. Ambrose. I'm sure there are many other athletes, and I'm not trying to slight any of you. I'm just trying to emphasize the importance of having strength and conditioning. And that's why now, even if you lose a few players, if you've got that in place, Matt, I think the strength and conditioning programs at schools that, by the way, you're required to lift twice during the season, 3 times out of season if you're out for sports, there's the invaluable lessons that, A, you learn in there, and the things that how you build your body to make it more healthy and strong can only heighten your potential and your performance on the field.
Yeah, and it starts when you get into 7th grade. That's really where the important piece of the whole strength and conditioning program is. And I think we're starting to now see that or see those results of the staff and coaches and strength trainers putting that emphasis on starting early, doing it the correct way early. That way, when you get into playing varsity sports, your last 2 years or 3 years in high school, you're ready to go. And I think, like I said, it's taken a couple of years to kind of get that foundation down and get that mentality down. And so now we're seeing the kids that are sophomores, juniors, and even the seniors who started really paying attention and getting it in the weight room in 7th and 8th grade, now starting to see those results.
They're buying in. And they're staying in. You got kids now looking forward to weightlifting like they're looking forward to going and playing a pickup basketball game or throwing the pigskin around in a 7-on-7 game. They're looking forward to being in the gym almost more than doing that at times. And that's when you know you've won. So moving forward now back to Lisbon. Again, we've mentioned some of the guys that they've lost a few players. But again, I know Coach Allison and his staff have worked. They've just hired extra hard this offseason. they're going to put a good program on the field for Class A football this year, regardless of what the scoreboard says on this coming Friday night, if they win or they lose, or we can't tie in Iowa football, not yet. We don't flip that coin. But no matter what happens, I know their final eight games, they're going to be a very, very good football team. And they, yeah, I mean, the West Branch, we're certainly not overlooking them because it's the first game. You never know what can happen. And I know Lisbon's going to have a very good football team.
And we spoke with Coach Peterson about just that. And here's what he had to say about Lisbon, about the things he's hoping for the Bears in this first game.
Coach Peterson, first game of the season, you never really know what to expect until they get on the field. You see a few plays. You got some ideas of what the team would like to do. Kind of share those with us now.
We're going to try to be a balanced team where we can run the ball as well as throw it. And we have a lot of different kinds of weapons this year. We have, you know, three or four backs that can run the ball. We have three or four real quality receivers. But the bottom line for us is we have a big offensive line that returns everybody. And we got the transfer from Wilton, Jacob Giese. So our offensive line is big. We go 270 basically at both tackles, 240, 225, and 200. So we've got a nice offensive line up front.
The idea is when you're playing against a team like a Lisbon, who's had a very, very strong tradition lasting back for many, many years. Coach Ken Allison there now has been great. You guys have scheduled these games. This is the fifth year in a row that the Bears and the Lions have played. Three out of four now in Lisbon. But the idea is that they are a similar team. They are a team, a small-town team with all these country-strong sort of kids. Sort of kind of mirror one another, except West Branch has a few more kids at the high school than they do.
Lisbon's a really tough group of kids. They have a great wrestling program, and that carries over into, obviously, the football program. And Coach has done a great job up there developing that program. So we know every time that we play Lisbon, we're going to have to strap it up because they've got their program to that point where all they have to do is reload each year, and they're going to be a formidable task.
What kind of a team is Lisbon, Coach? I mean, from an offensive perspective, and you know, what kind of things do you maybe foresee them trying to throw at, wrinkles on the defensive side of the ball to try to contain the Bear offense?
I think every year you're a little bit unknown on that first game what they're going to run defensively. We have some ideas what we think they might run. Offensively, they like to run the football, but they also like to put it up in the air as well. And I'm not sure exactly who their quarterback is going to be at this time, but that'll be a factor on what they do offensively. But he runs a lot of unbalanced. He runs some heavy stuff offensively, and we've prepared for that a lot the last couple weeks on their unbalanced set. And a variety of different pass plays that they have run in the past we've been working on.
And for Bear fans, I guess, and for the coach, the team in general, the last couple of years when we've faced Lisbon, Lisbon has sort of been the team that's had a lot of players returning, expected to be strong. I mean, last year when the Bears played in the first game of the season, they were ranked third, preseason third-ranked team. This year, I'm not worried about the rankings, but it's kind of a different thing. West Branch has a lot of guys returning at a lot of key positions, and Lisbon has graduated some, and they're going to try to fill in the holes as you usually do with the Bears each year. So what kind of role do you think that'll play, giving you guys a little bit more, I guess, confidence knowing some of the guys you have back and not having to worry about, okay, what are 16 new guys going to do tonight?
Well, you know, basically we do have a lot of game experience back, and one of the things that's done is we've been ahead of pace as far as putting in our offense and our defense. We have a great deal of our package in right now, offensively and defensively, so I think that's a big advantage for us on being able to know that some of these kids have already been tested under fire, and they've done a good job.
Taking into effect the scrimmage from Friday night and some of the things you saw there, the kids are getting the opportunity to go from a practice field. They're just playing against seeing their friends across them on the line of scrimmage. They're still seeing it, but now the lights are on downtown and 400 to 500 people, our eyes are focused on them. Sort of gives them a little bit of the feel of what to expect when they get onto the game field in an official situation this coming Friday. So what can you take from Friday night scrimmage to move towards next week's game?
Well, I always like those and meet the team nights because you do get to go out there, and it's a little different feel for the kids playing in front of people, especially in the little Rose Bowl, and I think that's going to be an advantage to us as well. We looked at the scrimmage tape, and we saw some things that we were real pleased with, and we saw some things that we need to work on. And that's what we'll be doing this week. We'll be polishing. We'll be adding a few new things to our offensive repertoire and also our defensive repertoire. But overall, I think a lot of our package is probably in at this stage of the season. We do keep adding throughout the course of the year new wrinkles every week.
And then another question I would have for you regarding the staff. Some new guys on staff this year. You're getting some help. Telly Zunica joined you on the offensive and defensive line. Kyle Hengeman's also going to join into the staff. Just talk about some of the new staff members and what their roles you hope for the team are going to be, and what you expect from them come Friday night in their first game, sort of as a, you know, their first time to get into game action as well.
Well, Telly, you know, was a player down at Columbus Junction, did a great job down there. He played on the 1991 team that we beat down there on the drive, and he doesn't forget that game yet. But Telly has put a lot of time and effort in. He spends a lot of time in his basement watching drill tapes and things of this sort, and his wife Carol gets upset with him at times because he does spend a lot of extra time. But facetiously, she's always very supportive as well. And Kyle is a former Hawkeye. Gives us a lot of different looks that we haven't done before that we're going to be putting in from the Iowa program and from the conditioning standpoint, from the offensive standpoint, and from the defensive standpoint. And he is a born coach. He has done an excellent job and will continue to grow. Terry Roush is kind of in a different position this year where he's going to be running the special teams. Ray Woods is more of a part-time coach this year because of family commitments and his work job-related things. He's not going to be able to be with us as much. So we have loaded up a little bit on that regard. Matt Hills is a new secondary coach for us, and a lot of the other people are similar to what they have been. And, you know, I think that's a plus for us, too, because we have a lot of people that are back that have coached for us in the past. They know the system, they know what we want, and they know how to get it.
And you know, certainly know the system, being this will be the you've been coaching a while. It's just kind of neat to always hear your reaction when you say, boy, if you don't wake up in the morning when football season's coming around and feel that itch, then and you're just not meant to be a coach, whether it's your first year or your 97th year. But, you know, season opener come Friday night, Butch, you know, what can you really tell fans that are listening right now? What do you want them to know about this team?
Well, that they're a very close-knit group. They work hard together. They give great effort. They're a family. And, you know, I've always said that I don't want one receiver. I don't want one back. We want a lot of different kinds of people that we can go to keep people off balance. And we like to do a lot of different things defensively, which we will do again this year. You know, I want to show at least 4 to 5 different defensive sets Friday night up at Lisbon. But one thing that I can tell the fans, we're going to give it our best effort. We're going to play with sportsmanship and a lot of pride, and that's what we'll do all year long.
Well, thank you, Coach Peterson. Certainly wish you well Friday night against Lisbon, and I'm sure all the things that the kids have been working on the last couple of weeks are going to come to fruition, and a lot of good things are going to happen.
We sure hope so, and thank you guys for doing this. I think it's going to be a great addition to the West Branch football program.
That was head coach Butch Peterson. Again, he knows that Bears have – he's talked about it many, many times this preseason – but specifically now talking about Lisbon, Matt, is that this schedule is not set up. It's not backloaded. It's front-loaded. Butch talked about not trying to slight the last 5 teams on the schedule, but he really is emphasizing the first 4 teams on the schedule. 3 out of those 4 games are going to be on the road to begin with, which is always, when you've got younger kids and when you're you know, in high school football specifically, it makes a big difference when you're at home or away. But he's really emphasizing the importance of not getting caught up in what you're reading and not getting caught up in the fact that we're telling you that you can be a very good football team. We can lead you to the water, horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Mm-hmm. So he's telling, you know, the coaches aren't, they know that this team could be a pretty good football team. You know, we've already emphasized between, you know, here many times, we've talked about the offensive line and we talked about how they want to be a balanced football team. Coach Peterson focused on, he really says they want to be a 50% running team and a 50% passing team. You got to be able to mix it up to be a successful football team in today's game. And I think hopefully on Friday night, the Bears will get the opportunity to do those things. Of course, that's going to be, you know, sort of predicated upon what the Lions are playing on defense.
Yeah, certainly. And just over the years, I've realized that, and I feel like specifically in Class 1A or even just the lower classes in the state of Iowa, if you have a team that can run, great, you're probably going to do pretty well. But if you can also add in that element of passing, there are really not a lot of defenses that can stop that passing game. It's just been a trend that I've seen from every team, and not just West Branch.
It's a strong passing game.
As long as it's a good passing game, you've got a good quarterback, a good receiver core, a good line that can pass block. You know, you can be pretty successful at the pass game, and that it's hard for those defenses to stop, and not, you know, even West Branch included. You know, every team, it can be that passing attack can be pretty detrimental to a defense, just because in this class, you know, a lot of teams will just keep it on the ground and pound it and run it.
And Matt brings up, I mean, that brings me to a point here. I mean, I can just look back at last year's stats and for Class 1A District 6 alone. I don't even need to look at quick stats to know this. I know that they were the only district in the state of Iowa that had 4 1,000-yard passers in Class 1A football. And Lucas Lamont threw for 1,517 yards. He was third in the district in passing. They had two guys throw for 2,000. Drew Cook at Regina. I got to think of his name. Tyler Hetzler at Wilton threw for a little over 2,000. And then the kid, Renlinger, or was it, the quarterback at Tuapolo also threw for 1,000 yards. So, I mean, the teams are deep. 1,000 yards. I mean, that's 100 yards a game. And in 1A football, you throw for 100 yards or more a game, you've got a pretty decent passing game. So I think what you're going to see Friday night, from just hearing it from Coach Peterson and being at practice myself, and I know Matt's been there a few times, is you're not going to see any gimmicks. First of all, you don't show that to teams down the road, but the first game of the season, it's the KISS formula. Keep it simple, stupid. You're going to see the traditional run plays. You're going to see if that line can back up the beef, so to speak, and open those holes on those counter plays or those other plays that teams like to run.
Yeah, and we just heard Butch Peterson mention that in the interview of how, you know, as the season progresses, they're going to keep adding new folds and extra things into the offense. But you're right, you know, the old formula of KISS, keep it simple, stupid, is, you know, the good way just to start off the season and just slowly build upon as the season goes, as the coach or as the players get more used to the offense, they get all their blocking schemes and their routes and everything they're supposed to do down pat, like they know at the back of their hand, and then you can add in the extra things that are going to take your team the extra mile and potentially deep into the playoffs.
Well, the good news is for the scrimmage Friday night, the Bears won. There was no doubt about in my mind that they had a shot at winning.
Yeah,
that
I was a little nervous, but
and they came out victorious. I can't tell you what's going to happen for this game because I just don't think it's fair for us to make any predictions here on this during this podcast. I know what we would like to happen during the game. Here are some of the things I would really like to happen. A, that the first thing, of course, we'd love to see a Bear victory. But I think what the coaches are really hoping to see is execution. To see what's moving on from the practice field to the playing field. And in that execution, the one thing I really want to see that I think the coaches will back you up on, with any coach, but I think that you're really hoping from the first game, two things, rather. I keep saying one thing, but two things. One, stay injury-free, of course. But B, from an execution standpoint, let's see how we can limit the penalties and turnovers. Simple things, keep it simple. But these are, you know, they're very simple, very cliche. But in the first game, if you can limit those two things, if you can limit your turnovers and you can limit your penalties, I'm going to guess when you get to the end of the game, the team that has the least amount of penalties and the least amount of turnovers is probably going to be the one with the W flag waving after the game, Matt.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think you're 100% right. It's, you know, I mean, for any game this season, but especially this first one, and what we've seen in the past from Lisbon, I mean, I keep saying, they're a very good first game test for us just to see what we can do, and a chance for the guys to play against some other competition other than themselves. So, you know, the last, I remember from 2011 season, we barely escaped with the victory at home against West Liberty in a real exciting game. And then we went down to Lisbon, and, you know, they beat us 18-8, and that was kind of like an eye-opener for the team that season. And then especially the next week, too, losing to Alburnett. You know, the Bears were 1-2, but easily could have been 0-3 at that point. And that Lisbon game, I really do remember it specifically because it was just, like I said, it was an eye-opener. And, you know, I just think that Lisbon's a really, really good test for the Bears to begin the season.
That was a fun game. The Bears got out. That was another one of those hot nights. We had players going home, you know, unfortunately, you know, getting heat exhaustion, having to go spend night in the hospital just from heat. So, at any rate, it was 18-0 at halftime. The Bears were losing and ended up losing 18, held Lisbon to nothing in the second half. Cade Jones barreled in for the Bears' lone touchdown and two-point conversion. But, so let's close it. Let's wrap, put a little bow on this episode here, Matt. Just when you think about the fact that 2014 football season is happening, we're there. I just think that I'm really excited. I'm anxious to see. I'm not putting any high expectations on this football team because I'm as Brett Bielema used to say, when I was working up in Wisconsin, he would say in interviews every week, I love it. It's very simple, but I love it. He's like, our goal is just to go 1-0 every single week. I'm not worried about week 9 and being district champs quite yet for any team. I'm not worried about West Liberty yet. I just think that my hope and projection for this team is limit the turnovers, limit the penalties, put up about 450 maybe total offense, 35, you know, 28, 35 points. If they can be in that, I think they have a good shot at being on top of the scoreboard at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how the defense plays. As much as we've talked about the offensive line, I think the defensive line, I mean, heck, it's the same players really on both sides of the ball. They're on the line. Really interested to see how they play, if they can stop the run, rush the quarterback, you know, just be disruptive. And then the linebacking core with Drew Finnegan, Matt McElrath, and Devin Kinden, and mixing in Travis Wolf there sometimes as well.
Wolfman, the Wolfman.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some big guys up there at linebacker, and I think they're going to really be able to plug the holes on the run plays and defend pretty well in the pass plays. And then, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that if you have a good passing team, it's hard for the defense to defend that. So I really hope we can see Lisbon come out and pass the ball and see how our cornerbacks and safeties can react to that and just get them some good experience, because, you know, one couple games this season, we're going to see some good passing attacks, and I just hope they get that experience and learn and get better from it.
I'm not a White Sox fan, but there's one thing that they do in each game that we're going to add into our weekly pregame preview of each game. We're going to add one little part to our segment. Neither one of us are White Sox fans, Matt, so let's just be honest right now. We're Northsider fans. Yeah. But they do something, and they call it, who's your pick to click? So, Matt, this week, who do you think? Who's your pick to click? You get one. What you got? If you can only think, if you think of two, you can pick two. But give me your pick to click this Friday night.
I'm gonna say Luke Lanock. Just because the Bears are going to – I know I probably stole yours, Jason.
Yeah, sorry. You know, you got your first game, you got to stick – you got to keep it inside your comfort zone.
Yeah,
you know?
But I'm really interested to see how much Luke has matured, just both with a knowledge standpoint and a athleticism standpoint over the past year. Because, you know, he played quite a bit last season for backing up Michael Gould. And, you know, you could see at times that he was a freshman. He needed to learn how to pick up holes, when to cut it and go. And everything we've seen from practice so far this season, over the offseason, he has learned how to do that. So I'm really interested to see, you know, just have that be true, and see if he can actually do that.
You know, I've had about a minute here to try to think of another pick to click. Yeah. Again, it's the first game. You keep it within your comfort zone. Yeah. So you think of a couple of players. You go quarterback or you go running back. They're both named Luke. Cool Hand Luke at quarterback, Lucas the Razor, and Luke Lanock at tailback. You know what? I'm going to go off the grid a little bit just for fun, because I think defensively, I'll go to the defensive side of the ball, and a guy that's going to click, and he may do so on offense as well. You're going to watch him do a lot of things on offense. He's going to be a key component of some of the blocking schemes and the Bears do, and maybe going out in some pass routes. But his defense on the end, I'm going to go with Nick Westcott.
Good choice.
Nick Westcott's my pick to click. Good. Let's, you know, hopefully he can rush, you know, get a little pressure on the quarterback, contain the outside speed run, you know, the zone runs, cut back inside, or the speed rush outside. He can contain that or come up and make a play, you know. But he's certainly going to get some help from the big beef in the middle. Hopefully, you know, those guys can do, you know, All-Stater guy like Jacob Giese can disrupt him, maybe bounce him out, and the Knicks there to clean him up. That's my pick to click.
Good choice.
So, you know what? We didn't really get much response on our music, the music thing. So, you know, we're just going to pick it. You know, Toby, I'll let you help pick the music some too. I love the 80s. You know I do. But we might have to variate sometime. Maybe go back to like to the 20s. We can do some 30, maybe some Billie Holiday. That'll fire everybody up to start it up. But at any rate, maybe we'll do this. You send us your picks to click. contact@westbranchfootball.com. Who's your pick to click? Do it this week. Do it for next week for the West Liberty game. Let's get it going. And I tell you what, we'll even throw this in. If we get at least 20 entries in the pick to click contest, and somebody picks the right person, if more than one do, we'll throw them in a drawing. If just one does, we will give you an official WestBranchFootball.com t-shirt. We're going to actually have some made. You can have a t-shirt, but it's going to take 20 entries. And the winner of the pick, if you're the right guy on the pick to click, who we judge was the click, that the pick that really did click, then you'll be getting in there. We'll give you we'll throw you out an official West Branch Bear Design t-shirt by our own Matt Chenander. Designed it himself. He's got nothing. I'm trying to get him to talk about his t-shirt design. He put years and years into this. He's been drawing this picture since Mrs. Culver's second grade class.
Struble.
Sorry, Mrs. Struble. Yeah, she was great. I never met her, but I'm sure she was a great teacher and did some great things. But Matt, always a pleasure. It's going to be fun. Always get this, that first game sort of, get it under the belt. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
It's like Q Bart Scott. Can't wait. Can't wait. But you make sure. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Again, we'll be with you every week. But if you can't make it to the game, webcast is going live 6:45 p.m. every Friday, starting this Friday, the inaugural mission, the maiden voyage of the WestBranchFootball.com webcast, play-by-play with the voice of the Bears, Mike Quinlan, and a special guest, Jason Miller might be along for this one. Unfortunately, folks, I'm sorry. I might be along for this ride, but each might be different for you each week. But I think it's going to be a neat thing, Matt, that we're doing here with the website. That's not what we are doing personally, but a lot of people came together to bring this, to make this possible. And we hope this can reach you from LA to Tokyo to France. And hopefully you're out there, Frenchie. Pascal, I know you'll be listening, my friend. Blessings to you, friend. We got to get you back out here for a game, but I think it's a great thing, this webcast, man.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's on the heels of the unfortunate news of some local radio stations deciding not to, who have decided not to cover much local prep sports, at least specifically relating to football. So we thought it would just be a really good idea for us to go ahead and broadcast a game ourselves. And cool thing is, it's every game, whereas from the previous seasons, there's maybe one or two games out of the year that get broadcast on a local radio station. But this time, it's every game, and you don't have to worry about having an AM signal. You can listen to anywhere in the world, smartphone, computer, tablet, whatever you have. As long as it's connected to the internet, you're going to be able to listen to the Bears.
So we'd really like to thank Al Gore for making this possible by creating the internet. We appreciate that. It's been 20 years. Big Papa Al, bless your heart. Thank you so much for doing that for us. At any rate, Matt, thanks for being along. This is going to be a fun journey. Week number one of this, the 9-week journey that we know of for sure. We won't worry about the rest of it until we get a little further down the road.
Well, I think it's just a 1-week journey at this point, Jay.
1-0 each week. He caught me. You got me. You got me, boss. We want to thank you, the listener, for being out there each and every week. Share this. Put it on Twitter. Put it on Facebook. This is not about us. It's not about Matt and I. It's about West Branch football and about giving you a more intimate look into the program, talking about it. If you want to join us sometime, heck, we might even let you do that. Maybe. Maybe. But keep it simple, sweetheart, when you're on it with us. But thanks a lot. Thanks for you, the listener. Thanks for the Bear football program for being around. Thanks for Coach Peterson for his interview. We'll talk with him every week, too. Thanks for listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast, powered by Hoot Project. Take care, everyone.
young.